Okay, next up we have Something About Her by David Taro.
My friends think I'm crazy to love her like I do. They can't see what I see, all that misfit beauty shining through. A spoon of sugar in a world of salt, a secret in a mystery. Something about her, it just seems good to me.
Yeah, so again, I thought this was another really beautiful song, but ever since I listened to the first podcast and Ryan made the comment about Rosatina sounding like a beer commercial, every time I hear Dave Taro play beautiful piano and sing beautiful songs, I'm just thinking about Miller Lite or whatever classier, like maybe, the champagne of beers, Miller High Life, whatever it's going to be. I'm just imagining somebody clinking a glass to this. And I really liked this song. I really liked the careful choice of the metaphors, the spoon of sugar in a world of salt, the diamond in a hand of clubs, the winking nod to the challenge to have the chord not in the tonic key and also have that be where it lands, which he has in his bio. I mean,
Super
that's
good, right?
a lot of mechanical skill, artistic skill, getting that done. I don't think I have anything negative to say about this song, so I will stop there.
I don't either. Like, I also wrote down those exact lines of,
oh, sorry, I stole your notes.
But they're the best lines in the song, right? That diamond in a hand of clubs, chord not in a tonic key is so good. He sings it twice, and I'm not mad about it. Like,
nope.
It's so good. This reminds me a lot of David's Round One entry in that it's in a very similar style. And I really like this kind of guy at piano music, as my Tom Waits record collection would attest to. And I think this is a very strong song owing to the lyrics, the great performance, the great recording. And I would not be surprised if this is in the top five. But I also worry that this sort of thing is very much in his wheelhouse, and I hope that in later rounds we hear him branch out a bit from this style. And one thing I noticed as I was listening to this, there are some chord changes in this song that are very reminiscent to me of Bridge Over Troubled Water, which I thought was interesting. And I mentioned that on the Discord, and Micah found the chord sheet for Bridge Over Troubled Water, and he drew on it with a red marker and then posted it on the Discord. And there are five circles on the chord sheet everywhere there is a secondary dominant change in Bridge Over to Troubled Water. So there's a reason that it sounds like that. Micah is too smart for his own good, I think.
He is.
Yeah, I feel like I should clarify that this is high quality beer commercial music. The issue is his singing voice. This guy is clearly an extremely talented singer and songwriter, and these songs are produced extremely well, but the voice sounds so... It sounds like if SNL was doing a sketch and they needed a particular brand of vocalist, a little vocal fry, a little Bon Jovi here, a touch more Joe Cocker there, and it's all fine, it's all good, but it's not for me. From the first couple of syllables, I'm like, really? I feel like I can't be the only one. That is honestly my only criticism, which isn't really a criticism. Everything about this song is good and well composed and well performed. But I can't get past the voice, which sounds like
that sounds like
insincere...
a you problem.
Yeah, no, sure, but for to me, it sounds like an insincere affectation from a few decades ago, like practically a parody. And thank goodness I'm not a judge this time around, because I doubt I would be fair to this perfectly fine song and this perfectly fine vocal performance. Like, we had a friend who used to be a DJ occasionally. And he told us that there's this thing called puking, which is when you're,
I did that a lot in my early 20s.
Well, this is more like, you can talk in your usual sort of voice and everything like that. But then there's this other voice where you can go, it's Toyota-thon at this Sunday in Cerritos Auto Square, which is all
that's
just
good.
Affected.
Announcer voice. Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Did you moonlight for that guy?
You can call my agent. representation.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it's sort of like, and there's, that's an affected sort of a thing that, that is also, I don't know how it became like a norm or something that's been also accepted. Like, I think if you were just talking to this guy, he would not sound like he sings. And that's not necessarily a problem. Neil Young doesn't sound like he sings when he just talks, and that's fine, but it bugs me. And it's unfair, and I realize that, and I should stop talking about it.
I think you explained that really well. That's like a reasonable thing to talk about, a reasonable thing. I mean, taste comes into this a lot. And again, I think Jumpy said something nice the last time, which a lot of this sort of review process is finding something that we like and trying to explain why we like it, or finding something we don't like and trying to get to the root of what it is about it that we don't particularly like. And for you, it's that sort of affected voice, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't. I think David Taro and Szymanski are not that far apart up in the UK. I don't know what accent he normally speaks with or how he normally sings, but I will say I thought this was a really strong song.
Me too. You know, I mentioned Tom Waits when I described this song, and he kind of reminds me of early Tom Waits. So there's this album you can get from Tom Waits. There's a collection called The Early Years, which has a number of his, you know, I think they're mid-70s recordings, when he was trying to sound kind of like a troubadour or a crooner. And it's almost a caricature of himself. I think that was really before he found his real voice, after like smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day and like drowning himself in gin. But he eventually found his real Tom Waits voice, and he sort of abandoned the more affected voice that he had put on in, you know, his sort of Tom Waits character in the early years. And maybe David is just in that spot, and he'll eventually find his authentic voice.
And let's just say right here, we don't know nothing. This might be his voice.
Yeah,
this
do not know shit.
Yeah, exactly. He might sound like a mixture of John Bon Jovi and Joe Cocker when he's ordering coffee. Could I have a cappuccino?